This is Twa Teams One Street from the Evening Telegraph, the only podcast as obsessed with Dundee and Dundee United as you are. On this episode, they build up to the big Premiership kickoff with Dundee United taking on St Johnstone, Dundee's championship fixture list, and we're all thankful the SPFL nonsense is over. Hello, and welcome back to our little podcast. You're stuck with me, George Cran, again in the hot seat, I'm afraid.
Boo.
It might be a disappointment. Don't worry, there's exciting times ahead. Real football matches in Scotland. How about that? It's been a while. Obviously, Dundee United playing their first match since March the 7th. First Premiership match in over 4 years, taking on St Johnstone the weekend on Saturday at Tannadice. Looking forward to that. But not only that, this week's podcast, we've got some fixtures to look forward to as well from a Dundee perspective, which is always an exciting time in the year, even if it's a wee bit later than usual. As we've been for a long time now, we're still recording at home, so bear with us if there's any random background noises like dogs and doorbells and stuff. But joined by the telly's favourite goalkeeper, Graham Finnan, as per usual. How are you getting on, Bear?
I'm getting on fine, George, and thank you for describing me like that. That's made my day. It's made
my day. I could have said favourite sports editor, but that's pushing it, maybe.
You could have said oldest goalkeeper. Oldest goalkeeper in town.
That was unfair,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but good to be back and thoroughly looking forward to some real action at the weekend.
Right, okay. Callum Woodger's still continuing his convalescence after a wild camping trip. I think the countryside's recovering as well. So we've got Sean Hamilton in his place. How are you doing, Sean?
Oh, I'm getting away with it, mate. Not too bad. I didn't know Callum was wild camping. That's interesting.
Well, I think wild is the operative word. I can't even say it.
Okay, he's probably the subject of all these stories I've been reading over the last few weeks about people leaving beauty spots in a terrible state. It sounds like his MO.
Well, you've done it before, but it's a big mouthpiece to fill.
Oof.
You think?
Well, it's,
he won't listen, will he? Can't.
I hope not for your sake, George.
Actually, he lives around the corner from me now, so he might be coming for me.
He might just be a little guy, but I've heard he packs a fair punch.
But I suppose we better go on with actually talking about some football rather than slagging off friends who aren't here. So first up, and obviously with a completely neutral cap on, Sean, who's going to win on Saturday?
St Johnstone.
Sorry, that neutral, or
was that a bit too quick? Should I have thought about that a bit more?
I was having a wee look just before we came on. The bookies seem to think it's going to be quite close. I think St John's maybe just edged it on the odds, but I'm not sure people really know what's going to happen this season.
No, I mean, I was quick with that. But I mean, I do think St John's will probably win. And I say that accepting that if I turn out to be wrong, I'll get absolutely bodied for it on Twitter. But I'll accept that. You know, I can handle it. For me, There's nothing wrong with United and the way things are going there as such. Obviously, they're riding the crest of the wave. They're just promoted. They've got a new manager. There's a buzz about it. Over 5,500 season tickets sold now, which tells you everything impressive you need to know about the state of things at Tannadice. But I just think St Johnstone from December onwards, they were really, really finding their feet as a proper Premiership side, top half Premiership side. They were going really well. Only lost two league games from December till the end of the season. And they've got young players. The trend is good. They're all starting to gel together nicely. A couple of wee additions, including one likely to be concluded before the game.
That'd be an interesting one.
Absolutely. Craig Conway, that's... it is indeed interesting for United fans as well. But I just think that with Callum Davidson being appointed there, there's a through line, if you like, from Tommy Wright's era.
Yeah, continuity
with Callum. Yeah, and I can't see him shaking up too much. I mean, obviously he'll have his own ideas and he'll want to play his own way, but he knows what he's got there. He knows he's got a good squad of players and he knows they're all heading in the right direction. I just think if they can start this season the way that they finished the last one, I think they'll be a bit too strong for United.
Well, United will be hoping to do exactly the same as that and finish. Well, I suppose I'm thinking back that they didn't quite finish as strong as they'd like, but they want to continue the momentum that built up over the whole of last season. But that, as you say, 5,500 season tickets sold, it's incredible, really. It's really good going, although obviously there won't be any of them in the stadium to see their team return to the Premiership, which is a big shame. But Graham, do you think that might have an effect on the game, not having that home advantage, the home crowd kind of pushing them on?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, and it's a real disappointment for every Dundee United fan out there that they won't get to Tannadice on Saturday. And I would imagine a fair splinter of St Johnstone fans as well, because they would have came through in their numbers, and that game would have been pretty damn close to being a sellout, I would imagine. But especially for the home fans and the return to the Premiership after four seasons away, you know, not being able to get in and see them is going to be a blow. And a blow for the team, because, you know, when United get up ahead of steam playing down toward their own fans, in the bottom goal as such opposite the shed end, you know, they are quite a handful at times, and they can be quite imposing, and the fans, the team react to the fans, so they're not going to have that on Saturday, so they're going to have to, you know, gee themselves up on their own steam, sort of thing. In terms of the game itself, a few weeks back I was sitting on the fence and I thought I was going to go for the draw, but I'm not going to have Sean Hamilton giving St Johnstone 3 points straight away, so I'm going to go for Dundee United on Saturday, and I'll tell you why. And it's because of one man. It's because of Lawrence Shankland. I think he writes his own headlines, and I think it's set up for him on Saturday. I think always the first games are incredibly tight, and you know, what do we expect from Mickey Mellon's men? Well, I don't think we'll expect anything too different. It's virtually the same squad that finished last season. You've got a decent goalkeeper in Benjamin Sigrist. He seems to be fit. You've got a couple of fullbacks in Liam Smith and Jamie Robson, who like to get up and down the park. Central defence, you know, you've got Reynolds in there, and, you know, there's a bit of continuity in there. You've got Butcher in front of him, who'll be there to break up the play. But the one star man in the Dundee United team who would stick out his sore thumb is Lauren Shankland, and it'll be interesting to see if he can step up to the plate in the Premiership. And he's had a lot of things thrown at him. You know, was he good enough to get goals in the Premiership? Well, now's his chance. And I think he is a guy that is going to command headlines wherever he goes throughout his career, and I think Saturday we will see that, and that's why I think United have got a real chance of winning the game on Saturday. It'll be interesting to see how Mickey Mellon lines up. I mean, obviously last season United tended to play with four at the back, but, you know, maybe in the Premier in the Premiership they'll have to be a wee bit more cagey. Maybe not initially. I think they probably will stick with the four at the back, but I wouldn't be surprised over the course of the season they might tend to go with a couple of wing backs and three centre halves, you know, just to give them a bit more solidity. But for me on Saturday, it's gearing up for one man and one man alone, and that's Lawrence Shankland. And I'm backing him to get the winning goal and United to get the 3 points and get them on the road in the Premiership. So there.
Well, we've got a prediction for each result, so I might as well sit on the fence then, and make up the full whack of going for a draw. Well, I think it's really difficult to tell, just because of the way the pre-season's been in terms of the games. We don't really get to go and see them. Obviously, there's highlights and videos and stuff, but it's not quite the same. You don't get to see the team live so much. I agree with you completely, Graham. We obviously know how good Lon Shankland's been for United, and it seems to be the type of guy that really enjoys a challenge, and it's really looking forward to proving himself at a higher level. Because he's waited a wee while to get a go in the top flight. And for me, I was looking at all the Premiership teams just earlier on, and I think quite often, as there quite often is in the Premiership, there's a lot of the teams are similar kind of level, but a player like Shankland can be the difference between fighting it out just towards the bottom of the table and heading for the top six. I don't think there's a huge difference in the teams at that kind of level, so I don't see why United can't kick on. I would have liked to, in an ideal world, see them add a few players, but obviously that's not happened. So, Sean, I mean, Mickey Mellon said he doesn't want to take a sledgehammer to things and kind of break up a title-winning team, which is Very fair. But do you think that they do need to add? They've brought in Luke Bolton on loan from City, but it's just one signing. You never quite know what a loan signing is going to do. So how do you see the squad going into the season as a whole, not just on Saturday?
I would be surprised if there weren't more coming. But I mean, we know that the transfer window is going to be open for a wee while yet.
Do you think he might just take a few games to have a proper look at his team?
Yeah, I can see that happening for sure. Just see how they stack up over the first few fixtures. I understand why most clubs in the Premiership haven't dived into the transfer market. Because they're going to wait and see how it plays out a bit. They're going to see who's available. They'll see what will happen with the wages that players are asking for as time marches on. And also at the same time, it's potentially another six to 8 weeks' wages that they won't have to pay a player if they're waiting until October. So, I mean, I understand why all that's played out the way it has. But it would surprise me if there aren't a few additions coming at United between now and when the window closes. Because had there not been the change of manager, had Robbie Nielsen still be there and we were looking at that United squad as it stands pretty much the same as it was in the Championship, I think we would be saying, oh, they need a few bodies to make that step up. And I don't think that's changed. And yes, there's a new manager there and he'll have different ways of working. He'll maybe be trying to get them to play a wee bit differently. Maybe. Although he's obviously made a point of saying he's not taking a sledgehammer to it. But at the same time, I think they're going to need a few. Because on the evidence of last season, Shankland, you're right to point him out. I don't think there's any question marks over him. I think he'll be absolutely fine. There's one or two others that I like to look out for the Premier League. So I think Liam Smith will be good. I think Segrist will be good. A Perry, maybe. But I mean, I think there's question marks over a few. But they'll be answered over the coming weeks, won't they? So we'll wait and see.
Is there anyone in that squad, obviously you mentioned Shankland there, Graham, but is there somebody you think might kind of step up and really take their chance other than him that stepping up from the Championship into the top flight?
I hope so. You reckon they're going to need it? I think
no, Sean I'm asking for one name that you think is really going to do well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sean touched on it, Louis Perry, a guy who stepped up last season when he had to.
He was good against Hibs, wasn't he?
He was. He scored a great goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think he's got a hell of a lot of potential. There's no doubt about that. And he did step up last year, absolutely. But now we're up another level. He's going to be up against better players. Can he rise again? But he's a young lad, and that's the way you make a name for yourself. Any obstacle that's put in front of you, you go get over it. And I really hope he can. I really hope he can, because you're right. I mean, I'm talking about Lawrence Shankland and Sean, bang on. I think there's no doubt that he will get goals. But the big problem United have got is, well, last season they were getting the ball to him with not relative ease, but on a regular basis. It'll be far more difficult trying to feed Shankland and find Shankland in space. They've got to get the ball to him, but they're going to be up against better players. They're going to find themselves in games where they're more on the back foot than on the front foot. And Shankland might find himself isolated up top, you know, so when that's the case, you need others weighing in, and it'll be guys from the wider areas, whether it's Louis Perry, who I would say, let's look and see, and hopefully he can get himself into some sort of shape where he's ready to go for the start of the season. But look at him. Look at guys like Paul McMahon, who's sadly carrying an injury, but when he gets himself fit, hopefully he can do something. He's an exciting type player that can either create chances or win penalties, or he always does something in a game. Paul McMahon, always felt, every time I watched him last season, he always did something in a match that would either turn the match, it would be a goal, he would create a goal, but he always did something. And I think that's what your attacking players, you look for them to do that, whether it's they're on from the start or whether they're coming off the bench, you look for them to make some sort of impact, and that's how they keep themselves in the team. Well, obviously, you have to see what the guy, Luke Bolton.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never heard of the guy, to be honest, but obviously the pedigree coming from Manchester City, the lad must have something. And hopefully he does, although we've seen this before, but he is just a kid, so maybe we shouldn't expect too much too soon from him. And hopefully Mickey Mellon can bring in a few more. But absolutely, I would think that, I mean, if you looked at that United team last season, won the championship at a canter, but this is a different level. They're playing a St Johnston team who are course and distance Premier League team. You know, they just keep churning out top six every season. So I haven't seen many changes to their team. It looks like they're going to add a few. Craig Conway would be a great signing for them if they get it over the line. But they have tried and tested Premier League players. So that's what they've got going for them. And they'll be a tough hurdle for Dundee United on Saturday. So United will have to step up to the plate. But just think, imagine what a big 3 points would be for everybody at Tannadice if they could get the win on Saturday.
And if Craig Conway does come in and make his debut at Tannadice, I was just trying to think what the atmosphere might have been like had it been a normal game in front of the usual kind of big United support. Do you think that might help him? I'm trying to decide whether there would be any hostility or anything, because he's very well liked.
And again, I'm slightly guessing here, but although I do live with a Dundee United fan, and that's my missus, by the way. Having spoken to a few pals and what have you, I mean, I think Craig Conway is pretty well thought of by Dundee United fans. He's part of a very successful team that won the cup, scored in the final for them.
Well, it's maybe a shame for him then that it wouldn't be his.
I think he would have got a decent welcome. Yeah, I think he would have got a nice welcome from the United fans. Might have changed a bit if he'd set up a goal or scored a goal against them or something like that. But certainly, initially, I think he would have been welcome back. Certainly, don't think there'd be any poison towards Craig Conway. He's a decent guy, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Craig Conway would have got a brilliant reception from the Dundee United fans on Saturday, as they remember back to that day when they beat Ross County. You know, and he was a fantastic servant to Dundee United as well, and went on. Let's be honest, went on and did really well for himself in the game. And he's still, you know what, he's still got a tick or two up his sleeve. He's still quite a good age. We spoke about Johnny Hayes going back to Aberdeen, but Craig Conway can have the same impact at St Johnstone as Johnny Hayes, Derek McInnes would like to think we'll have at Aberdeen. He's got a lot in his locker. and we talked about Liam Smith and we talked about Jamie Robson, and whatever side Craig Conway's playing on, they're going to have a job on their hands on Saturday if St Johnstone get that signing over the line.
If St Johnstone can get out of Craig Conway what Kilmarnock have got out of Chris Burke over the last few years, I think they'll be very, very happy with that.
Well, I think everybody would be delighted with that. I mean, he's a player I like a lot as well. He's obviously he's picked up a load of experience now coming back. He's maybe a different type of player to the one that was at United, but he's still real quality. But another player that's kind of popped up that he'd maybe been the forgotten man at Tannadice over the past, well, since he went off to Ireland in the winter, Cammy Smith popped up with a goal at the weekend. I have to admit, I wasn't even sure he was still a Dundee United player. I thought he'd gone off and joined Dundalk, but I guess the loan ended when the pandemic hit. So, I mean, that could be another option. He's obviously been given a chance in the pre-season matches, and he's played in the Premiership before. I mean, that could be an option for a team like the United, or it's a chance for him to maybe say to Mickey Mellon, you don't need to go and sign anybody. I'm here. I can do a job. What do you think, guys? Cammy Smith stepping up for United, and I suppose it'd be his return for about the third time at Tannadice.
Yeah, Cammy Smith's a bit of an enigma for me at Tannadice. There is a player in there, and you know, he tends to come in and do well, and then he'll get a run and just he'll have a run of games where he does absolutely nothing. You know, he just seems to, there's nothing in games for him, and he's on the bench and disappears. Now, I'm with you, George. I actually thought that he'd left the club. I was very surprised to see that he's actually still a Dundee United player and he's back in there. But
I think the word under the deal kind of indicated it was a loan to buy type thing. But obviously,
but you know what? He's come back in. Mickey Mellon doesn't have a lot of players at his disposal, and he's obviously done well and got himself scoring goals. And he's another one who can get goals at a Premier League level. He's proven that. So if Mellon can get him playing and get him scoring, but you know, he just needs to break out of the sort of, you know, the games where there's nothing happening for him. United can't have that. They just simply can't have that. You know, they need performances. As I said about Paul McMullen, even when he wasn't having great games for it, he always made something happen, mm-hmm. whether it was a tackle, whether he was getting penalty, or, you know, he was getting United at the park, a shot at the goal, just to get United going at times when they weren't going last season. I think we need to see more of that from the likes of Cammy Smith. Different type of player, but he needs to be more involved in games.
So just to finish off, since we're heading into the opening day of the Premiership season, predictions for where United are going to finish come, when is it, May? Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure when the season finishes. But I mean, where do you think?
I there was a lot of talk before the change of manager about, you know, getting into the top six and pushing for Europe and winning trophies and what have you. I think if United manage to get into the top six in their first year up, looking at them now, I think that'll be a magnificent achievement. I hope they do it. But I mean, I reckon also if they can be well clear of going down sort of sixth, seventh, eighth, somewhere around there, I think that'll be considered a success for them. Although United fans will probably be screaming at me just now and saying it's no good enough. But I think if they manage to get somewhere in about there, that would have to be seen as succeed. Magic.
How'd you spell that?
Seen it would have to be seen as a success.
I think I'd probably agree with that. Like I said before, I feel like the bottom half and just into the top six, there's a lot of teams that are around the same level, and obviously United are coming up from the Championship with pretty much the same squad. And there are question marks over whether players can step up, but I think if they can, like you said earlier, Graham, if they can continue to supply Shankland with the chances, then he's going to take the chances, and I think he could be the difference. I don't see why. Well, if Shankland can get in a double figures towards 15 goals, I mean, they'd be going for a top six place, and I think that's within their grasp. But they have to keep it strong at the back and supply the main man up top. What's your big prediction then, Graham?
Well, sadly, I'll have to agree with what you guys have said. Robbie's still been in charge and they've had a bit of continuity, and, you know, we didn't have the pandemic and he was able to go out and recruit, because I'm sure that he would have recruited three or four players and the world would have been a different place because they would have had the finance in place to go and do that. Then I think justifiably, if they'd kept Shankland, then you could have said, well, yeah, they have got a realistic chance of getting in the top six. But the teams that are there at the moment, and the fact that they're not able to bring in a great amount of new faces, I would suggest that you're both absolutely spot on. I don't see them reaching the top six. Top six is beyond them, I would say.
Right.
What I would say is success for United this season is if they could get to the final 9 or 10 games, the final sort of run of fixtures, and they are not looking over their shoulder at the teams in the relegation zone. If they could keep themselves in that sort of position where they're easing themselves towards safety or you know, consolidating towards the middle of the table, then that would be a real success for Mickey Mellon, considering that it's his first season in charge. And I'm sure United fans, there'll be one or two that will say, ah, top six and we'll push for Europe. And the vast majority of United fans would accept, you know, just staying in that league and building on from that from next season, and hopefully the world will be a better place by that point as well, and we can actually look to doing some real business, and teams will have the finance to go and do a bit of shuffling in the transfer market. But anything above the dreaded drop zone will do for me, I would say.
Well, I think definitely. I mean, team moving up after getting promotion, that's always job number one. We'll have to wait and see how the season goes for United. Obviously kicking off this weekend, but across the road, the season kickoff's a wee bit further away, but we finally have some fixtures to look forward to, and we'll talk about them in a minute. Yeah, the fixture list is just dropped before we've started recording this. So we're looking on Dundee's 27-game championship season, which is coming up, obviously curtailed because of the late start to the season due to the coronavirus pandemic. But I think there's a few interesting games in there. What stands out first for you, Graham?
First game of the season, obviously.
Yeah.
What a ding-dong match that's going to be. Hearts at Tynecastle. I mean, between the two of them, you would rightly say Hearts would be favourites for the title, and rightly so. Even in sort of
this taking crisis the pressure period. Off, straight off, isn't it?
Even in this crisis period, they've still been able to recruit quite well, and I'm sure Robbie will be able to do that even more so before the season starts. But I'm just looking at the fixture list. Looking at it, you realise how short it is.
I know.
27 games.
There's not too many home games either.
Yeah, and how much of a sprint it's going to be towards the title. Obviously Hearts on that opening day, and I really hope that some fans will get into Tynecastle to see that, because that would be real disappointing for the players as well. I mean, you always want to have a crowd behind you in Tynecastle, I'm sure, even though they're in the Championship and a lot of their fans will obviously be disappointed by that, they still would have turned out in big numbers for that game, and I'm sure Dundee fans would have sold their allocation, whatever they were given, you know. So it's always a good day out to Edinburgh, but that's obviously a ding dong one to start off with. But you're obviously looking at the rest of the teams. I mean, I think Dunfermline have recruited well. I think that you've always got to keep an eye out on Inverness. John Robertson is a sort of shrewd. He's a wily campaigner now, you know. He always seems, although Inverness have been struggling for finance, and they really seem to be really struggling for finance, I'm sure he'll build a team that is capable of certainly, you know, pushing for a playoff place, and is capable of holding their own, certainly up in Inverness. And then you've got the stickier games down at Dumfries against your own club, George, on the plastic. It is still plastic down there.
Yeah, but only if we've got some players by that point. I think we've only got three at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll dig a few up before the season kicks off in October. And going to places like Morton and that, again, the Championship is such a difficult, you know, place to go and win games. And you see, even I'm looking at Arlo in there. I thought Arlo were outstanding last season under Peter Grant.
Yeah.
You know, just because they came to Dens and they were all playing, they were trying to play football and play football the right way, and they've got some terrific midfielders. Again, another really tricky side. And then you look down at Ayr United, you know, another team so that are sort of always there or thereabouts and difficult to play against. But it's great to see the fixtures out.
Yeah,
let's be honest, it's great to finally. I know it's a bit off yet for Dundee and for Dundee fans, and. You know, every club in the Championship will be feeling it this weekend when the Premiership kicks off, and you know there's no games really to look forward to. But we are moving on, and that's all I can say. You know, we're getting through this long tunnel, and the resumption of football, even if it's not with fans, you know, in the seats, you know, will be something, and we're moving forward. So yeah, great to see the fixtures finally coming out.
Yeah, it's always the day to look forward to, because it. Especially in a time like this, when it's been so long since we've actually had any games to go and see or talk about. I mean, it kind of makes it real and not just a thing that's happening in the autumn. We can actually see where we're going to be or what the big games are going to be. But just having a look at the fixtures, obviously the Hearts away in the first game of the season, it should be a massive one. It's a big one. But they've got Hearts away twice, Inverness away twice, Ayr United away twice.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, they're only playing each team three times a season. Do you think Dundee would be too happy with that, Sean?
In total, they're playing one more away than they are at home.
Yeah. In terms of the big games,
13 at home, 14 away. But aye, in terms one. Of the bigger opponents, it doesn't seem to have fallen in their favour.
No, it doesn't.
If you like. And I mean, in terms of Hearts as well, you're looking at gate receipts for that, so that's another pain in the arse. Quite frankly, isn't it? That you're losing out on a Hearts away support.
Definitely,
you're only getting one whack at that. But I mean, it doesn't get much juicier than Hearts away on opening day. That's incredible. And actually, the fact that the fixtures are even out this early, it kind of put me on the back foot a little bit. I was surprised by it. I expected it to be a bit later, but I mean, you suspect that the drive to get them out early. I mean, clubs are desperate to try and punch season tickets at this point.
Yeah.
Dundee amongst them. Hearts will be in the same boat. Everyone else in the Championship as well. I mean, and if you can offer something concrete to your fans, as you've said, it's something to kind of hang that on. You can mm-hmm. say, look, this is coming. It makes it seem more real that this is what you're paying for, sort of thing. So perhaps that explains why they've been quite so quick in getting them out. But in terms of the list itself, Hearts is a massive one. And then, I mean, you could go through them all. They're all tough fixtures. Arbroath's one I looked at as well. Yeah. Arbroath, 5th of December at home is the first one against them.
Yeah.
But I mean, for what Baird was saying about Alloa last season, I mean, you could say the same and more about Arbroath for being a part-time team. I thought they were
You're absolutely
magic.
Right.
Like they're magic last season. And
you'd expect them to push on again.
To the extent, I think, but they could do. I mean, and to the extent that I think Arbroath kind of captured the imaginations of a lot of neutrals last season, just having come up through the leagues from where they were, right down League Two. Dick Campbell's brought them right up to the Championship, and then they're verging on the promotion playoffs, which is absolutely remarkable for a part-time team. So they're another dangerous one. You'll need to keep an eye on them as well. There's nobody you would look at in that league and go, that's a gimme, that's 3 points. It's brutal, it's hard.
And I always think of some of the away days. Obviously, everyone loves a good away day, but on standing out, obviously you mentioned my team before, Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Queen's away on Boxing Day. I mean, as a Dundee fan, I think they'll enjoy that.
No, thanks.
That's a fair trip.
No.
Even as a Queen's fan, I wouldn't have chosen that as a Boxing Day game.
I can remember going to a Dundee game at the Caledonian Stadium up in Inverness on Boxing Day. It's a while back now. And the weather was absolutely horrific. It was freezing. And I think Dundee lost the game. I can't actually remember. But to compound matters, somebody put a brick through one of the bus windows. So I had to travel back with a big hole in one of the bus windows on the way back. Absolutely, the temperature inside the bus was colder than it was outside the bus.
Didn't think that sort of thing happened in Inverness.
There you go. It was just an unfortunate accident, shall we say. Memories of that. It's a long haul on Boxing Day down to Dumfries, but I'm sure there'll be a hardy bunch of Dundee fans. I'll be down there to cheer them on with the turkey sandwiches and
that. And anyway, we're much nicer in Dumfries. Don't worry about that, Graham. Maybe through the windscreen, but nah, be fine. Yeah, and obviously, I think we've kind of maybe covered the fixtures. Kind of look back at over what's been happening in the last few days, but Dundee signed a player.
What?
Lee Ashcroft coming in. Somebody they'd been looking at for a while. He'd been on the radar at the start of the summer after he left Dunfermline. He's obviously very experienced in the Championship. He's played 4 seasons with Dunfermline and he had 3 seasons in the top flight with Killy. So he's probably the type of player they're looking for. Did it surprise you guys, considering with the way that the kind of finances are at the club and money's tight over the next few months. It surprised me that they were signing somebody so early. Although they made reference to the fact that in signing that they'd lost 2 players, and I think he's effectively coming in to replace Josh Meekins. Do you think that's the case, Graham?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reason he signed is that they were desperately needing centre-halves. I think the fact that Meekins refused a new deal and was allowed to leave, and also I'm sure they would have had an eye on Christoph Berra, watching the situation at Hearts unfold, but Christoph Berra is almost guaranteed to be staying at Tynecastle, I would think, under Robbie. So they had to get someone in. Should they be signing players? Well,
it's a difficult one, isn't it?
You know, it's a hard one, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to criticise him because it's a different part of the business, yeah. George. You've got to have a look at all parts of the business, you know, and sadly, there will be people that will lose their jobs, you know, maybe in sort of office staff and in other areas. But, you know, for the team needs to function properly. You know,
well, that's so where the main income comes from.
These guys. I mean, I'm sure that they've looked at that. I'm sure have looked at that with the contract itself. You know, Lee Ashcroft would have been aware of that. Maybe what Lee Ashcroft would have been offered had, you know, the coronavirus pandemic not been around, might have been a bit more. So he's probably had to cut his cloth and, you know, agree to take a cut as well and what he was going to get. So, I think it's unfair to sort of say they shouldn't be signing players when other people are losing their jobs. I think there's a whole ball game here that John Nelms has to look after. And it must be, he's got to juggle it well. He's got to look, balance it out. But the bottom line is, if you've not got a team on the park, you've not got anything. So you've got to give James McPake at least a chance of doing something next season. So I would think that there won't be many. I mean, there might be one or two more come in. I'd be very surprised if there's any more than that. And it's the same across the country.
Yeah.
But because there's other areas of the business where they're cutting staff, doesn't mean that they can't sort of bring staff in to sort of complement what they've already got in other sectors of the business.
I know it's a tricky one because obviously the business needs to make money. You make money from your team being successful in the park generally. Mm-hmm. So it's no use if the budgets are just cut so much that you can't bring in any players to supplement what's there. I think they've got a good 11 and a couple of subs. They're maybe lacking a wee bit of depth, which I think I'm sure the manager would very much like to address, but may not be able to. I mean, with the kind of indication that two players leaving, do you think that signifies they're going to be looking for a striker as well to replace Andrew Nelson, Sean?
I would expect to see some more movement nearer to the time when the season's about to kick off for Dundee.
There's been some names mentioned.
Go on then.
I think Simon Murray was mentioned earlier in the year, I think, before the all the pandemic hit badly. The rumours are he's heading back to Hibs. So Dundee might have missed out on him. But Danny Mullins' name's popped up again. I don't know what... how correct that is. I imagine he's somebody they'd be looking at because they were quite close to bringing him in January, and he's a free agent. Mm. That could be a potential one. But Kane Hemmings is likely to be the main man, so it'd be somebody who maybe has to...
Need somebody to compliment him, don't they?
Exactly, yeah.
Nelson's a weird one because, I mean, towards the end, I mean, I still think there's a player in there somewhere.
I like him,
I mean,
yeah.
They've definitely got something about him, but I just... I mean, apart from in his initial appearances when he first came up from Sunderland, there was a real bit of zip to him. There was power to him. He looked like he had something, but yeah. I mean, he never looked like he was enjoying himself that much. And he had a few injuries as well, which sort of curtailed him. And he never really got an extended run in that team. And he didn't look like a player who was comfy at Dundee, I don't think. But I mean, that's not to say that I don't think there's a player in there, because I do think there is. And it'll be interesting to see if he can put it all together down the road.
A long way down the road.
Well, it's a long way, yeah. It's nowhere near where he comes from.
It's
further away than Dundee.
Oh, definitely.
Where he comes from.
Torquay United is where he's
as far
headed.
South as you go, isn't it?
I know. It's,
you're in France after that.
I was thinking when he left, it was maybe a case of wanting to be closer to home. And obviously, he's from the northeast, former Sunderland player. So that surprised me when I saw Turkey United's name pop up. But I wish him all the best. He's really a nice guy to speak to as well. He's quite a level-headed kind of boy. He kind of knew his place and what he was fighting for at Dundee. And it just didn't quite work in that. Last season, I think his last goal was back in August in the Derby match, which is too long really for a striker, although he was used out wide. But I agree with you, Sean, there's something there. He's a strong player, right? A good shot, and he showed that when he first arrived. He was the great hope, wasn't he, Bear, in the Premiership under Jim McAdair for a wee while.
Well, we were clinging on, I think, at that point, you know, and he came in and we were desperately needing somebody to score goals, and he hit the ground running, you know, with the goal against Hearts at Tynecastle. But sadly, it never really took off from there, which was disappointing. And I agree what you're saying, the both of you. I mean, I believe there is a player in there. You know, he's an aggressive forward, which is good. He's got a bit of pace, and I think he has got a goal in him. But he found it really difficult to get the ball over the line last season for Dundee. I'm not saying he's prolific. I wouldn't say he was a prolific striker, but I still think he was well capable of certainly bagging double figures for Dundee in the Championship. But just didn't happen. He picked up injuries, and sometimes the injuries were a result of himself. You know, he was quite aggressive and he went into challenges wholeheartedly. And that's one thing I would always say. The Dundee fans liked him because he gave his all in a Dundee shirt. Every time he went in the park, you know, he never left anything in the change room. He always went and got stuck right in, and sadly, it didn't happen. You know? So I think it's probably a good move for him and a good move for the club as well, that especially if they can fund someone else, because they do need a wee bit more up top. But we wish him well, Torquay.
And then just to kind of finish off talking about Dundee and where they're at the moment. We're talking about Hearts in the first game of the season, but it looks like Hearts are starting pre-season next week, which is very early. It's going to be a grueling 8-week schedule or something like that. I understand Dundee probably won't be starting theirs until a couple of weeks after that, maybe the end of August, start of September. I mean, it's an interesting one. Whether that has any effect. Well, I mean, what do you think, Sean? It's one of these where you never know, the players might be flogged by having too tough a pre-season by the time they get back to the pitch.
I think Robbie will manage that pretty carefully, and I think the most important factor for Hearts is probably just getting the players back in.
Yeah.
Hearts is a big club, like, and I know you tend not to think about it too much, and when you get stuck in Dundee, you think about Dundee and Dundee United, and that's your job, and this is what we do, and you know, regardless of your own allegiances, you grow to like these clubs and the people there, and they are important. They're the centre of our world. But when you go to other clubs to work and what have you, when you have experience of these clubs, when you see Hearts, that is a, oh, okay, this is a big club, and there's no comparison to Dundee, and there's no comparison to Dundee United. Even they're much, much bigger. So Hearts, for them being in the Championship, it's completely unacceptable. Just as it's unacceptable for United, and Dundee fans will say the same, but for Hearts, it is absolutely, totally unacceptable for them to be in the Championship. Their ambitions are every season they should be competing for Europe. They haven't managed to do that for a long time for various reasons. But Robbie will be coming in, and he will be trying to impose a point of view on his players. This is who we are. This is what we do. We're a big club. So that'll be part of the reason why he wants to get them in early, ahead of everybody else, just to get them training, just to get them going, just to get them thinking, right, this is serious. Because they could easily give them another few weeks off, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, without bringing them in. What would they do? You know, they could try and work away on their own, but I mean, you'd be left to your own devices and your mind wanders. I think it's in an ideal world, and Dundee would probably feel the same if the finances were different. They would probably like to get the players in early and get them working. It doesn't have to be full intensity, but just to have them there about the place and have them working along the lines that the manager wants to, I think that would be the ideal. So for Hearts to be doing that doesn't surprise me at all. But I think it's indicative of the fact that their finances are different, and they are absolutely determined to get out of that division this year.
And, well, talking about that kind of attitude and everything, from a Dundee point of view, Graham, would you say that that's a chance to maybe put a wee bit of pressure on if Dundee possibly could, to kind of add to the frustration of the fans being in the wrong league? I suppose Dundee fans have that frustration as well, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think first and foremost, from a Hearts perspective, it was important that they move on. And I'm sure, well, Robbie would have loved him to be in the Premiership next season. He would much rather it was him talking about the football team rather than Ann Budge talking about the legal case, which has been what's been happening for the past, well, it seems, forever. You know, reconstruction, legal battles, money going to solicitors. it's over, you know. And I think, rightly so, now it's time to, you know, put a draw a line under that and move on. And Hearts, you know, Sean's right, massive, massive club, rightly be considered it, get themselves in shape as the third biggest club in Scotland. But that is also a cross they are going to have to bear in the Championship. Mm. And in the Championship, you know, they will have to, they will be the biggest scalp, and people will step up their game against them. And that's, but the thing is, they've got a manager that's well used to that. He's done it before with Hearts. He's done it with Dundee United last season. So he'll be going in and he'll be doing exactly the same thing. You know the way Robbie is. He's very, very quiet. He goes about his business very quietly. But be under no illusion, he'll have his team set up to do over 27 games to win enough to get them back to the Premier League. But Dundee, it may be good for Dundee that, you know, Dundee can go under the radar slightly.
Yeah, that's
what
I was thinking.
Been down there for a couple of seasons now.
That's the way I'd be looking at it from a Dundee point of view anyway.
Hearts, so Dundee can use that to their benefit. They won't be in the spotlight nearly as much as Hearts will be next season in terms of the Championship, if there is a spotlight on the Championship. Yeah, I mean, I think Hearts, it is time to move on and, you know, put this whole sorry episode behind us.
Yeah, it's certainly, with the fixtures being out, it gives us something to look forward to from a Dundee perspective. Just to finish off, we'll have a wee discussion on what's happening elsewhere around the country in Scottish football. So obviously Dundee United were heavily involved, but Graham, you mentioned it just before, the arbitration process is over. So quick answers, are we glad that's all finished with and we can get on with the game?
No, I want more of it. I loved it. I relished it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant, the whole thing, from start to finish. Yeah. I particularly loved the court case and having to sit and listen to that for 3 days, or however long.
I have to say, I'm glad I missed that when I was.
It was on bogging.
What I would say, lads, is, I mean, it came at the right time for us, because if the pandemic had struck and we had no court case and no legal shenanigans, we would have had absolutely nothing to put in the paper. So it's kept us going for the last 6 to 8 weeks or so, as it's gone back and forward and bounced around. But you know, you don't want to be hearing about these sort of things. It's just gone on and on and on. So finally, we can start doing what we're meant to do and speak about football in the newspapers. And it's time to move on. It's time to move on. So
no, I couldn't agree more. I became a football writer, so I could go and watch football games and write about them. That's all I'm really interested in. Don't really care about the politics and stuff, but. While there's no games, SPFL just keep on with the shambles. I'll fill the papers. That's the message coming from the telly today. But I think we'll maybe call an end to on that note. And thanks very much for listening, and catch up with you next week.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it. Or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people find Twa Teams One Street, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget to pick up your copy of The Tilly Monday to Saturday for all the latest from Dens and Tannadice, or go to thetilly.co.uk to find out how you can get the paper delivered right to your door.